title again?
Anda de lone ni ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
This is CBC News. I'm Karen Hauerlock. U.S. President Donald Trump is confirming the White House is working on new security measures to replace his travel ban against seven Muslim-majority countries. He says the measures should be announced next week. A federal appeal court in California refused to reinstate the ban last night. The issue came up at a news conference today in Washington between Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
There are tremendous threats to our country. And we'll be doing things to continue to make our country safe. It will happen rapidly, and we will not allow people into our country who are looking to do harm to our people. We will allow lots of people into our country that will love our people and do good for our country.
As far as Japan goes, Trump says the two leaders are committed to closer ties. This afternoon, the two are flying to a Trump resort in Florida for more talks.
Chick, chick, chick. Oh, boy. Scarborough Dude. Back at you already with Dixon Jane's podcast number 604, could it be? I'm ahead of schedule. I really apologize to those of you who are trying to catch up in your podcast listening, and I'm just seem to be squeezing an extra one in this week. I don't know. But right now it's a need, and when it's a need to talk and get it out, that's what I do. But I like to think that, in addition to just dragging you through my week, journal style, diary style, you know, this is what I did, this is where I went, I also put in, this is how I felt, and this is what I learned, and this is what I thought, and this is what I feared. And that there are more dimensions to it than just the story of what's been done. Okay? And if I'm not doing that, if that's not coming across, wow, I'm failing somewhere, because that's certainly the intention. So that if you do listen, it's not just, you know, that I went to the bar, but what did I learn? Well, maybe not every experience offers all that much learning. I mean, I thought last week when I went to the only after the left field brewery that I would come out learning that was a mistake. And yet when I think back on it, it was kind of fun. So I haven't learned that lesson yet. I haven't learned the lesson to shut down early yet. I have not learned the lesson to be responsible and go home on time. I have learned the lesson. No more driving anywhere. Not even that short little drive from the GO station parking lot around the corner, up the street, into my driveway. That's all it was. Couldn't have been more than a kilometer. And I don't do that. I've timed it now, so I get the number 9 bus. And that's great. That's improvement. So there are changes. There is progress. It's incremental, maybe. No, that's not true either. All right, here's something. I have a key in my pocket, which is the key to my church, the West Hill United Church. That's got to be progress. How the hell did you end up with the key to the church? Jeez, it's a church key. Hey, that opens beer. Get the connection, a church key, it's a bottle opener. If you didn't know that. Yeah, it's just that Friday we're having our book reading club, and the woman who's running it, my good friend Wei, might be a little late, and so I've got to start things off. And I've got this idea that I'm really excited about. I've made up a list of the kind of jobs or roles you might play if you were a Neanderthal man, woman. And I'm going to write this big list on a big sheet of chart paper. I got the chart paper ready today. And it'd be like, you know, chief, shaman, hunter, tool maker, builder, fire tender, cook, childminder, gatherer, all these various tests. And I'm going to ask people to try and think back, and I'll do it a little bit comedic, I hope, you know. If you're at the age now, forget it, because you'd be dead. But think back to anywhere between the age of 12 and, let's say, 40, Where would you be? What would be? So I'm going to have everybody stand up, identify to themselves, which role would I take on? I had a medicine man. I had a night watchman, too, which I thought was neat. A guy who watched the stars and gathered the mouth of a cave or whatever. And let people, if they find a job that I haven't listed that fits, you know, we don't want a dentist in there, or we don't want a farmer either. We're not farming yet. But anyway, identify and then form yourself into groups of four so that nobody has the same job. We do this every week, but usually it's just a count off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. I thought this is a little more creative. Think back to it. So I'm excited about that. I'll let you know before this podcast ends how it went, if it was successful or not. But that's the kind, that's the teacher in me kind of thing that's fun, you know. And it'll get people thinking. There'll be laughter, I'm sure. All right. So why am I talking? Well, I'm just wired up. It was a beautiful sunny morning. You know, the ice is melting, and it was nice. And I thought, I've got to get out there. But things happen. Yuki had me up at 7. I go back to bed. Well, it's 8 before I get out after some really weird dreams I won't tell you about. By the time I finally got out at 1 o'clock, 1:30, it's clouded over. It's cloudy now. It's 3:30 now. I've been running errands for 2 hours. It's all clouded. It's still nice. It's a winter sky. It's gray. The leaves are bare. I'm parked at St. Andrew's Cemetery. I got a load full of groceries. So where are we going to start? We'll go in reverse, okay? I've got groceries in the car. Why? Because we needed potatoes. Why? Because my wife sent me an email and said, I bought some steak. Can you go get some potatoes so we can have mush potatoes? And she spelled it M-U-S-H, which I find very endearing. And I wrote back. I said, no problem, but I prefer mashed potatoes over mush potatoes. And hopefully she'll laugh. So anyway, I go to get potatoes, and I think, well, I was actually going to plan and make another thing tonight, kind of a chicken dish. I got all recipes on my iPhone. It's really good. Tells you what you need and, you know, how to do it and all the stuff here. So this was a recipe for, citrus chicken stir fry, which I'm going to make tomorrow. I'm using orange marmalade to make some of the chicken flavor and stuff. But anyway, so needless to say, I didn't just get potatoes. Got lots of other stuff. So I'm going to do that tomorrow. We'll do the steaks tonight. That's fine because I'm going to have red wine. Oh, wait a minute. Tomorrow? Oh, shit, no. Tomorrow, I got to go out to do this thing I just told you about. Why I have the church key. I got to be there early. I got to leave at 6:30. Well, I could make it early and leave it. You know, well, we'll see. For Saturday, I'm already going out with Brian to the only, because Brian's heading off to South America again with his girlfriend, although he's going by standby. He got a ticket through his son. He's flying via Panama, and who knows where he'll end up. And he doesn't care. Brian is just so flexible. He'll just adapt to wherever he ends up, whenever he ends up. It's great. Good for him. Good for him, and I'm lucky to have a friend like that. My old Kuso Nigeria buddy. Met him on the first day, 1979, in the summer, before we went over. Anyway, so, groceries in the back. Before that, shoes. Because I've told you I've been fitted for a brace, they better get some shoes size 13 wide. They'll fit. And instead of getting running shoes, I got these Velcro lacings. They look horrible, but they're really comfortable, and they should fit the brace just fine. And I can bring them back if I want. The only reason I'm telling you about that, I liked the salesman so much. It was just a guy. I couldn't even begin to tell you what ethnic background. Certainly not standard European white, if I can use that phrase. Sorry. If that's offensive to anyone, I don't think it should be, because white people are being singled out enough these days. We'll get onto that later. Just a nice guy doing a job, but friendly, new stuff. Pick these ones out for me. You know, we were going, and I said, well, I need to be able to take them back. Well, hey, these ones will fit better, but we chatted, we talked, and I guess I just keep harping on this because I think it's so important. Everybody does, but all the stress and all the crap on Facebook, especially I just listened to Jason, the closet geek. Jason in Tennessee. You know, I think, why don't you get rid of the people who are following you, who are tweeting the things you don't like? Instead of getting off Twitter and Facebook, just dump all the people who post things you don't like. You know, even if I'm one of them. But I understand why you're tired of all the Trump shit. You know, I am too. But anyway, sidetracking there, sorry. The importance of little encounters in a day. There is so much shit and misery. Why not, if you're shopping, engaging with somebody, make it a pleasant exchange. Smile. Be friendly. Be kind. Be gentle. Now, John Meadows says that I have good social... what was the term? Social knowledge, social interaction skills. It was to make up for the fact that I'm not all that bright. I mean, I'm not the... I wouldn't use the term, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, because that really means, whoa, you're stupid. I'm not stupid. I've never been stupid. I've done stupid things, but I'm not stupid. But, you know, the G I keep harping about is probably fitting. Partly through laziness, but partly through, no, I just, hey, that's my genetic makeup. That's where we are. And that's okay. I'm comfortable with that. And I do make up for it with this, what's the term? Social knowledge, social intelligence, I guess. To know where to go and how far to go in a conversation and what tack to take. So I ended up buying really nice socks, extra socks. This was a half price for the second set. And all this because I went to Mark's, because I've just been in the habit of buying things at Mark's. And they had, oh, we got a big season closing sale. Anything marked down by the second one for a half price of whatever the more expensive one was. And it turns out it's just their shit summer shoes that are overpriced anyway. Like, you know, $89 for a pair of fucking sandals. Half price. Big fucking deal. It's still too much. And then the next pair you're going to... Yeah, it was ridiculous. And it was just annoying. And why would I buy fucking shoes at Mark's? Which I've done. It's not a shoe store, for Christ's sake. And they didn't have sales clerks or anything else. So I went across to Payless Shoes in Cedar Bay Mall. And bam. You walk in. Bam. Starts right off. Men's side. Size 14, 13, 12, 11. Just go down the row. Bam. All open in the box. Just pick them out of the box and decide what you want. Here's the price marked. You know, 39, 44. It was incredible. So it was a great place to go. Payless Shoes, thank you very much. And the salesman was just a nice guy. We had a nice conversation. That makes me happy. That makes me think part of this day was really worthwhile. And it may seem so insignificant. It may seem so unimportant. Well, I ended up with a pair of shoes at the end. I mean, that's good. I needed shoes, and this is going to fit my new leg brace. And I got socks, including another set with Batman and Superman socks. It's all good. That was the bonus part of it. But the conversation, the niceness, to be kind to people. That is important. You can do it. We can all do it. We need to do more of it. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. Or don't care to do that. Or I'm just fucking shopping. I just want fucking shoes. I don't care about the sales fucking clerk. Okay. Maybe I, exaggerate a little on that. Maybe I just went a little too far. I don't think so, but... So what else? Was that it? No, the church key, the shoes, the shopping. You know, there's probably nothing else in there. That's probably it for the day. That's probably it for the start. No wonder I keep filling up these podcasts, because I can go on about almost nothing. And next thing you know, you're 13 minutes into it and wondering, what was that all about? Do I feel any better? Yeah, I do. And I'm getting stuff done. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to shred some stuff. I got bags in the cupboard, clear plastic bags. I got papers with numbers and names and addresses and bank accounts on them. All that shit's going to be shredded, and I will have done more. I am making fucking progress, okay? Jesus Christ. Sorry. I know sometimes it sounds I'm mad at you, the listener. I'm just sharing with you, the listener. There's no anger directed at you. My goodness. I should be down on my knees praying to you. Well, praising. No, not praying. Praising you for listening. All right, that's it. I'm going to give you a tune and then I'm out of here. I got to go home. The stuff is melting, the frozen vegetables and everything else. All right, bye. Bye.
Look at Dolly. Pretty, 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 pretty Dolly. Oh, here she come, here she come, here she come. Pretty, pretty Dolly. When Dolly hear them soundy drum, up she jump and she holla, here I come. When Dolly hear them soundy drum, up she jump and she holla, here I come. Cause she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. Don't stop her when she hear the call, Dolly Dawn going to have herself a ball. Don't stop her when she hear the call, Dolly Dawn going to have herself a ball. Cause she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. When Dolly start to shake and shout, clear the floor, cause she really move about. When Dolly start to shake and shout, clear the floor, cause she really move about. Cause she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. When Dolly go into a turn, old men jump and their eyes begin to burn. When Dolly go into a turn, old men jump and their eyes begin to burn. Cause she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. Soon Dolly go into a fall, turn and spin, then she start to climb the wall. Soon Dolly go into a fall, turn and spin, and then she climb the wall. Cause she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring.
I know I've played part of this from the radio on a Dixon James podcast before. Don't know who it is, don't know the name of the song, but I really like it. Excuse me, I'm going to bite into a chocolate. You can just listen, okay? These are so good. The little round balls of Lindor, Lind chocolate. My wife had them, and I thought, I will go to McDonald's and get my $1 senior's coffee. I asked for a $1 coffee, and she didn't know what I wanted. I said, well, the senior's coffee. Oh, okay. So I've been schooled again on what to order. And it's just a much better deal than $1.50 for a small Tim's, you know, even though there's no rim to roll up. I do get the stickers off these, and, you know, after about, what, 7 coffees, you get another free one. So it's a better deal. Better deal. This chocolate is so rich, so flavorful. Love it. Okay, I'm going to feed that out now.
Oh, Church. And before that, Tanika Charles, you're listening to Shift.
Okay. So anyway, I'm at Bluffers Park. It's snowing. It's Friday afternoon. It's about 2:30. It's actually beautiful. Oh, I can't see out the window. It's covered in snow. I didn't put the wipers on. I just needed to get out. It's just one of those things, you know. I got to get out. I guess I can understand some people. I mean, if you're old, retired, and for some reason you didn't have access to a car or lost your driver's license, God damn, that would suck. I know in my father's case, he died before that could happen to him. And it would have been very hard on him. Although he moved from a house to an apartment and really loved there. When he was in the apartment, he felt like he was on a ship. Had his little room set up, still had his ham radio stuff set up. So that was good. He went out in a nice way. I suppose I bring that up a fair amount. I mean, of course, I've mentioned my wife reminds me sometimes of the preparation I really should be doing just in case of unforeseen circumstances. But, God, I don't know. Some things I cannot figure out. It was her birthday. We didn't really celebrate, although I did go out and get sushi and so on, and that was nice, but... You know, just low-key. No. It's just a regular day. That's all she wanted to know. It was just a regular day. The next day, the day after her birthday, she buys these wonderful steaks and prepares this amazing meal. My son barbecues. I mash the potatoes. We're all in on it. She says, open up the bubbly. I've got a bottle of, you know, for her birthday, I bought a bottle of sparkling wine. I knew she wouldn't want it, but on the day after... So there's something about it. And I know she's lighting candles in the house. There's always, like, every evening, there's a little candle lit on the sideboard. There's a candle lit in the kitchen. One of the things I said when I said to myself when I married her, it will take me my entire life to understand this woman. I knew that from the start. And here we are. You know, still... and... You know, you just don't ask, well, what's a candle for? It's not like that. You don't do that. You just kind of enjoy it. The house, as I mentioned, gets, you know, sort of changes get made by the season, by the suddenly now, it's Valentine's Day coming up, there's red towels, there's... There's chocolate. Sorry. Anyway, I mean, it's all kind of related. I gotta finish the last piece, sorry. All right, so Mark is not going to PodCamp Toronto. That's a bummer. But what is so weird, he just posted on Slack, I can't go, work has come up, he's got a new contract, that's great. I can't go PodCamp Toronto. At the very time that was posted, I was writing a letter to Kathy, Bob's wife. And the line I wrote was... So many of us, especially Mark, will miss Bob as we start thinking about PodCamp Toronto, because just seeing Bob there was the highlight of the event. Isn't that amazing? Like, just, you know, that what do you call it? It wasn't serendipity, and you could call it coincidence. Synchronicity. You know, it's nothing. I mean, these things happen all the time. You know, I'm hearing Dave Broadbeck correcting me for some reason, saying, yeah, there's no meaning to it. All right, fine. No real meaning other than I notice these things, and I think it's really neat. That just that was the last line I wrote, and then Mark posts, I can't go. Anyway, where were we going with this? I don't know if we were going anywhere. I got to go back home. I got to make that orange chicken pasta stir fry. So I got to go do that. And then tonight, of course, is the book club meeting at the church, and I've got to get organized for that. There's a lot of questions that are really involve thinking. What was the agricultural revolution, according to Harari, the writer? What were the effects? We did not domesticate wheat. It domesticated us. Explain whether you agree or disagree. What is the luxury trap? Here's a question. Page 101. These forfeited food surpluses fueled politics, wars, art, and philosophy. This is all to do with the agriculture, right? They built palaces, forts, monuments, and temples. History is something that very few people have been doing while everyone else was plowing fields and carrying water buckets. And the question is history simply something done by very few people? Discuss. I'll leave that with you there. I'm going to have to go home while I'm doing some cooking. I think I better review some of this and carry on. Tomorrow, I'm meeting Brian at the Only Cafe. You know what that means. And we'll get on with things. God damn, I gotta get the get the snow off of this car. Yeah, it's really coming down. All right, hey, shh, quiet. So, boys, girls, Scarborough dude, here feeling really good on this Friday and happy about life and so much to be grateful for as always. And I'm gonna keep this short. Bye for now.
And that's the latest this hour from CBC News. I'm Karen Hauerlock. Here's a look at the weather forecast now for Toronto, Hamilton, and Niagara. Snow beginning early this afternoon, about 2 to 4 centimeters expected, high -3. That snow ending around midnight, the risk of freezing drizzle overnight, temperature rising to 0 by tomorrow morning. And for Peterborough and the Kawarthas, snow beginning this afternoon, about 2 to 4 centimeters there as well, high -7. That snow ending overnight with the risk of freezing drizzle, temperature rising to -3 by tomorrow.
Cat named Joe. He wears a red bandana, plays a blues piano
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
He wears a purple sash and a black mustache
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
Well, the first time that I saw him, he was a sitting on a piano stool. I said, tell me, Dad, when does the fun begin? He just winked his eye and said, man, be cool. He wears a red bandana, plays a blues piano
in a honky-tonk down in Mexico.
He wears a purple sash and a black mustache
in a honky-tonk down in Mexico. In Mexico.
All of cat named Joe. He wears a red bandana, plays a blues piano
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
He wears a purple sash and a black mustache
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
From the border, that is, in New Mexico. Yeah, South Mexico. Yeah, you can get your kicks in Mexico. Come with me, baby. Come with me. Come with me, yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
Okay, we're rolling. Got the recorder, the Olympus LS-10 in the visor, so I can't really see, like, if it stopped going, you know, you can't tell. I preferred it in my hand, but I need two hands to open my coffee. Now, I was thinking before I started this clip that this is a McDonald's. What was it? Not the Americano, but a cappuccino. Cappuccino. It's all right. It's all right. Although I just heard an ad for their mocha, and it sounded even better. The nice thing about it, of course, I didn't pay. I had enough of those stickers for about three medium coffees. Now, what I was thinking about was that I do regular bits on this show, and I could almost... If I was young, creative, like some of the podcasters out there, I'd have stingers. You know, because I'm doing this, you know, what am I eating or drinking while I'm podcasting? There's always something going on, right? It's McCafe usually, but I was doing the Tim's and whoever's got a special going. Not that it's important, but I mention it. So today I've got a medium cappuccino. I'm at Bluffers Park. That doesn't need an introduction, that you're a stinger. I always tell you where I am. But what else? I usually do a cat update. I do a health update. I do a drink report for the week. You know, where did I go drinking? What happened? I usually try and give a tip or advice, like, hey, talk to strangers, you assholes. I sometimes do a memory, you know, a memory lane bit. There's quite a few, like, regular things that just happen, you know, during the course of a 60-minute podcast. I never introduce the songs because I usually don't know till after I've recorded and then lay down the tracks and then find, oh, what would fit there? Well, that'd be nice. And then leave it to you to guess, you know, if there's any connection between what I'm seeing or what's going on or the mood. Although this one, I think the clue, the theme here is summer. I think I did something about Cuba or the Caribbean summer, something about Mexico. I think so. I don't know. Because I'm in my car. Don't have that info in front of me. So that's it. What's the update? Well, let's say it's Monday morning, February 13th, Valentine's tomorrow. And, of course, I never do anything. I might buy a chocolate bar and stick it on the table. We don't go out and do, you know, let's go and have a nice, really nice romantic meal. We don't do that. The nicest thing I could do is just be nice to my wife. And that's what she would appreciate more. And that would mean, you know, preparing a nice meal or something. I'm going to try a salmon dish tonight. We do maple salmon when she cooks it. I'll try it myself, but instead of frying it, I'll bake it. She's really good at that, so it'll be, you know, crazy for me to take on the same recipe. But I've cooked beef. I've done pork. I've done chicken. I've done quite a bit. Yeah, there's another bit, you know, my cooking for the week. I enjoy the doing of it. I love chopping up onions and garlic, frying them. I'm really slow. Like, I need everything in front of me. I need all the ingredients where I can see them. It's not like, oh, I need some of this and go in the fridge. Although I will go back into the fridge and say, oh, gee, maybe I could add a carrot here. I try a few new things. I use ginger root for the last time for extra flavoring in the citrus chicken dish I made. So it's fun, and I'm wondering why it took me so long. But then, you see, sometimes in life, things just have to come at their own pace, and I'm very, very slow. Now, a lot had to do with my wife just finally getting very impatient and fed up with the state of affairs, her coming home and doing everything. Now, I, you know, in my defense, for what it's worth, I do like cleaning up, too, and doing the dishes. Now we're using the dishwasher. This started about a year ago or 6 months ago. We use the dishwasher every night. It's great. I mean, the dishes are clean before they go into the dishwasher. They always get rinsed off and washed. But still, it's a nice thing. And then you set the heat option on it. And then when you take them out, they're all dry. And bam, just put them in. So I load, I wash, I unload the dishwasher. I do that. Okay, come on, come on. Not totally useless or lazy or a lout. So, on the medical front, I saw my doctor today. Blood pressure's still higher than it should be, considering I've been on blood pressure meds for years. I think it was 144 over 75 or something like that. So the lower part was fine, but the 144 is still too high. He says, I really need you in the 130 range. So in addition to the blood pressure medication I'm taking, he's given me another one. And I kind of like, he made a decision. He's like an executive, you know, he's sitting there. I really like my doctor. He never touches me. It's not like, you know, the doctor and, I mean, he will. I'm having a my medical in of May. But, I mean, it's just, it's conversation. And I like that style. Good doctors can do that. And my older doctor used to just kind of lecture me. He'd explain something and he'd talk like he'd never seen you before or you didn't know anything. And he'd just give his lecture about how the knee works or whatever. And, yeah. So, okay, so this one, it's very personal. And I always end up laughing. I always end up asking him how he's doing. And I think today's question, I asked him if he felt any better after seeing me. There's leaving. Did I feel better? Did he feel any better about my condition, you know, prescribing the new meds and so on? And he kind of laughed and said he usually didn't. He said it's usually 20%. What was it? 20% of the people he sees, like, it's like there's no help. It's just going to get worse. Something like that. I can't remember the stats. But the point being, I have a nice relationship with him. I'm very grateful. I went in. They said, oh, sorry, he's running late. Well, it turned out his mother, you know, has cancer, and he was at the hospital with her, getting her through all that. But it turned out it was only about 15 minutes late anyway. Plenty of time to read. And went in, ran through that. Then I got him to sign all the papers needed to get the leg brace. And just stuff was done effortlessly, easily. And they said, well, blood tests. You know, you do these. You want to do them today? Just down the hall. And so another same building, just go down there. And I get my blood test and my PSA test. And then, great, straight over to Shoppers Drug Mart, just around the corner to get my meds filled out. It just was so easy. So in the space of an hour, I had a lot done, which is great for a Monday morning. I mean, this started at 9:30. And I felt, wow, I'm where I'm living, all this is like, I mean, if I was healthy, it'd be walking distance from where I live. For me, it's a drive, of course, but it's just so wonderful. And again, the thought of moving, like, oh my God, it's start all over, and clinics and doctors and God, I don't know. Let's not make any hasty decisions about moving just yet. Excuse me. Nothing special about this coffee, and it's a bit too sweet. I said, you don't put sugar in it? No, we don't add sugar, but maybe they must add something else. Anyway, I thought it was a lot more exciting than that. When I didn't tell you about it, I was thinking, oh, I got to tell them how well everything went today. Well, there you are. Hang on, I got to put my sticker on my next card. I got 2 out of 7. It is a good deal. I mean, you get a free coffee with every 7 coffees. That's easy, especially if somebody else gives you stickers and stuff. Okay, so moving on. Drinking Saturday night.
Are you ready to move on, or should I pause here, put something in? Yeah, that's what I feel like doing. I feel like stopping now, and then I'm going to come back and do the drinking segment, okay? So hang on, and I'll put something in here, something weird, and then I'll be right back at you. Same time, same day. Oh, there's that same man. Remember I told you about the guy? The old guy comes and picks up bags and things, and there's a bag hanging on a tree, and he's examining it now. He's not going to take it. It's funny, because he looks like he could be, your old-time hobo, but no, he's just the picture of health. White hair, I mean, no, not at all. He's just a guy who's in the park every day. Nothing wrong with him at all. It's so weird. I was on the subway heading out. This is on my way drinking, but... And I saw a man who was the picture of death. It was so sad. It must have been a completely burned out speed freak or amphetamines. And, like, there were no teeth in his jaw. So, you know how the mouth just sort of sinks in? It's completely hollow, dark. The eyes sunken way back. Just a skull of a face. And how did he get that way? And how is he getting by? And, oh, man.
I've been around the world a couple of times or maybe more. I've seen the sights, I've had delights on every foreign shore. But when me mates all ask me the place that I adore, I tell them right away. Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. A sheep or two and a kangaroo, pillows line out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. You can see me in the kitchen cooking up a roast, or Vegemite on toast, just you and me in a cup of tea. And later on we'll settle down and mull up on the porch and watch the possums play. Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. A sheep or two and a kangaroo, pillows line out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. There's a Safeway on the corner and a Woolworths down the street, and Newell's just been open where they regulate the heat. But I trade them all tomorrow for a simple bush retreat with a kookaburra's call. Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. A sheep or two and a kangaroo, the loads line out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. Some people like their houses with fences all around. Others live in mansions, some beneath the ground. But me, I love the bush, you know, with rabbits running round and a pumpkin vine out back. So, give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. A sheep or two and a kangaroo, pillows line out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. And an old rocking chair. And an old rocking chair.
And we're back. This time we're going to talk about drinking. Insert stinger of your choice. Brian is off for South America this week via Panama on a standby ticket. Good for him. Good for him. Well, Brian and I just have a lot in common, and you know that. We've had this long-term relationship going back since... 1979, just before we left for CUSO, Nigeria. He lived in the north, I lived in the south, but we We just were tight buddies, and we kept in touch and have all these years. And he's basically my drinking buddy. We share a lot, as you know, about our lives. And so we'll spend a fair amount of time just talking about update maybe on the kids, the wives, our lives, our plans. And it's good. And it could get to the point where, oh, my God, this is getting a little routine. Haven't we covered this ground before? And that's about when, you know, we've ordered it. We're on our second pint. It's always second pint. And I step out and have a toke. And, of course, I come back in and suddenly I've got new ideas. I guess I should kind of explain that part. The toke is just... You're turned on, literally. I mean, you really are. You get turned on, but it's as if prior to that, you just weren't pulling in the signal very strongly. It just was a weak signal. And suddenly, it's coming through in clarity. And you're seeing, you're hearing, you're perceiving. Your senses are sharpened. There's that sense. You're definitely more animated, more alive. This is how it affects me anyway. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out there into, why don't you toke up, man? You'd be more fun. It's good for me. It works for me, all right? Especially when combined with beer because, man, you got a little real kickstarter. So I come in and then conversation changes a little bit. We get into some other topics. We go sideways a bit. And we talk a lot about family. Brian has had tragedy in his family, and we get a little more intense. We just dig a little deeper. It's not going to be just on the surface. We just go deeper. Anyway, we're sitting there. We got a little table. The only cafe is narrow. It's like an old-time diner. You got your bar, and alongside the bar is a row for just narrow tables and two chairs. You know, and then you got the big Formica old kitchen table in the front section, which is the best seat to get if you can. And then another bigger table in the back. You can sit around 6, 7, 8 people around that one. Tiny little table beside a pinball machine. But it's narrow. And then if the bar is full, you just go through the curtains at the back and you're into the coffee shop side. And you just bring your beer in there. And you got all kinds of places to sit. But we prefer the cafe side. Anyway, we said, all right, we're going to sit here right by it. It's a little tight. The bar, there's people sitting at the bar, too. So there's just space for one person to pass between you sitting at a table and, you know, the fat ass of the person sitting at the bar. It's tight. You got to be careful when you're going through with two beers in your hand. You know, it's touch and go. Anyway, we're sitting there, and let's... Some attractive women at the bar, there always are. And, you know, we notice those kind of things. We're not dead yet. And then there's a couple of other women come in, and they're kind of, I don't know, they get my attention anyway. And this guy leaves, and he says something. Oh, sorry, I'm a bit clumsy getting out of your way. Didn't mean to bump into you. Something, he says something. And I'm high at this point. And when I get high, I tune in. I really tune in to wavelengths. I tune in to what's going on with other people around me. Like, I'm really picking up on it. At least it seems that way. You might be, you know, Dave Brodbeck is probably questioning right now, you know, how accurate this description is. But that's the way it feels to me, okay? That's why I do it. And we're talking good weed here, too, right? This is stronger than the stuff I used to smoke when I was a kid. Except I didn't smoke till 1967. Fortunately, that was another thought. I'm so glad I got through high school without weed, but that just wasn't a thing for me. There's a few people around who were onto it, you know, but I wasn't one of them. Not till I got out of Lachine High. Anyway, I decided I got to move in on this conversation. The guy leaves, I said, well, and I make some comment that somehow seems appropriate, but could be taken any number of ways. But we get engaged in conversation. And one of the women is looking at me like a little like, well, what did you just say? Like, what's all this about? And the other one is saying, hey, guys. She wants to be friendly. Well, in no time at all, the two women are saying, come on, come to the pinball machine with us. Come and sit with us in the back. Like, they're really big. And it's funny. And I keep saying, well, you know, we'll finish our beer first. Anyway, not yet. We'll join you. Don't worry. We'll join you. We're engaged in conversation, and they're insistent.
And finally, I sent Brian. I said, Brian, go look, see if there's a seat for me to sit down, because I'm not going to stand at a pinball machine all night. See if there's a seat. And Brian comes out, yeah, there's a seat there. So we move back. And then this, you know, I realized pretty quickly, if not from the moment I saw them, they're both very high. That's why I'm kind of tuning in with them. Hey, we got a good vibe here going. It was me that made that connection and got that little spark of interaction going. And we ended up just having a wonderful night. We spent the rest of the evening with them in the back, like one-on-one intimate conversations, then changed. Somebody else had changed seats. All right, talk to this person. They were lovely women, but what I liked especially was they referred to us, you guys are lovely. I think those are the words. I made them repeat. I said, I want to hear that again, because we don't often get that kind of, you know, feedback. It's really nice to hear when you're almost 70 years old, a couple of young girls saying, you guys are lovely. Yeah, that was exactly the quote. And they said it more than once. And of course, I made them repeat it, but... We carried on. Now, prior to that, I asked Brian to describe me. I just had the feeling, I said, I don't know that how well I know myself. And, of course, you hear that on this podcast all the time. Brian came up with three words to start, and they were intense. I thought, no, that's not always a good thing, intense. I'm very intense. And I can see how that's a turnoff for people. I think he's right. I wouldn't have chosen that word, but... for that to be the first word, and of course this is after a talk he's seen that, but still, after I've had a talk. Brian doesn't talk, by the way, it's just me. The next word was joyous. Oh dear, the car behind me, you better not be fucking in my way. Joyous, and then the next one was flippant. Intense, joyous, flippant. Now, after that, you know, I said, well, give me a few more, and he gave me courageous, and the others I didn't count. I just like the first thing that sort of spontaneously came from his head. Intense, joyous, flippant. So I'd like to hear from any of you out there listening who know me or don't know me or only know me through this podcast, three words that you would use to describe me. I'd really love it if somebody posted that on my blog, went to dicksonjanes.blogspot.ca, I think, or emailed... Dixon Janes, DicksonJanes at gmail.com, and gave me your three words to describe me, however you choose. That would be very nice, all right? Now, here's somebody else, Jim, but talking about me, because what else do I talk about on the Dixon Janes podcast? How do I keep it going all this time? Somebody describing me, I guess I could say this was through the church, in regards to a meeting we had. Does that give too much information? No. No. Quote, you bring a gentle, intelligent, personable, funny, wise presence to the gatherings. Now, that's pretty damn good. You bring a gentle, intelligent, passionate... No, personable. Sorry, not... Personable, funny, wise presence to the gatherings. I'd agree with all of that. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. I do. All right, enough about me. Again, I didn't know where to go with that bar story, other than it was just another great night Brian and I had at the Only Cafe. And we do this all the time, and we are, and we talk about it with the girls, that we are just so non-threatening. But they knew, you know, these guys have got some stories, man. These guys are travelers. Why are these two old guys sitting there having a beer and just seem to be involved in animated conversations? Must be something cool about these guys. And that makes me feel really good. Like, it, honestly, you can think of some people who are close to 70, 68, 69, anybody over 65, who've almost given, maybe not given up on life. No, they may be passionate about their hobbies. But who just, they've just gotten old. And I don't feel old other than my body, you know, just giving me hell all the time. And that's great. I'm happy about that. Now, I've said that. But I also see people who are older than me, just as fit as a fiddle, who can do hikes and marathons and go skiing and, you know,
scuba diving and all kinds of shit that I've never done in my life. I've never been active and, you know, put me to absolute shame. So it's not that I'm saying my way it's the best. I'm saying for me, my way of going out every fucking week and having a few beer and getting into a good time and having a couple of tokes is what I like to do. It's fun. I enjoy it. Keeps me going, all right? Don't make me defend it. Which I don't think you were, by the way. It's just me apologizing a little bit for, in case that sounds kind of shallow and stupid. Anyway, that's it. That's the beer report. My coffee's almost done. I think I've said enough. I think I've got, goddamn, I probably have enough for a whole other podcast here. When did I put the last one out? I'm trying not to put these out too frequently, but sometimes you just gotta get it out and get rid of it, you know? What else is on? I gotta go grocery shopping. Yeah, I gotta see if I can find some good salmon and go on. The road track is just sitting there deep, covered in snow, and man, I'm wanting to go. I found out Algonquin Park is open. Mew Lake Campground is open all winter. Service sites, plowed. It's about 3.5 hours from Scarborough, north of here, Algonquin, this huge, this giant provincial park, and I really should just say, fuck it, man. Load up supplies and head off on my own, unless there's somebody who wants to come with me, and go to Algonquin for a weekend or a couple of nights. Do it in a week time when it's not busy. Okay, so that's it. Thanks for listening. I don't know if this is the end or not. If it is, well, so be it. If it's not, I'll be back at you. But more music, more tunes, more thoughts. Do I have any advice? Do I need an advice to end with? No. Yeah, I stick to the same one. When I walked into the Only, Brian hands over his credit card. And usually we split the bill, you know, we do. And I said, no, I'll do my own. And I walked up and said, do you need my credit card? Oh, Ken, I know you. You don't. No, no. And hey, I know who you are. And it's nice to be greeted by your name at your local bar. You know, think of what was it, where everybody knows your name. It's a friendly place, but I just, you know what, I fit there. The Only, it replaces my bar in Japan, which was Takemi's. It fits the bill quite nicely. Completely different, absolutely, but a place that you feel, I belong here, this is mine. That's how I feel about the Only Cafe. So, that said, talk to people, be friendly, interact, don't hold back. Make it the aim of not making you feel better, but making that other person have a pleasant time. If they're really busy or preoccupied, you can tell by the look on their face, cut the conversation short. Do not get a cashier caught up in some ridiculous thing that's just going to confuse her. They got a tough enough job, but if you do anything, even just a polite thank you. Like today, I had a blood test today. And she was good. The person, but they were busy. There was a lineup. There was a lot of people coming in for it. And they're just one after another. Roll up your arm, put a little this, cleanser, you know, jab in the needle, fill up the vials. And I said to her, I said, you know, I didn't even feel that. And she said, thank you. And it was a genuine thank you, because that's what kind of a compliment do you give to somebody who's putting a needle in your arm? Ouch! God damn it! You know, that wasn't the case anyway. It really didn't hurt. But just the fact that I said it was a nice little thing. Just in that moment, boom, I'm out of there. She's on to the next person. It's over. It's not something like, oh my God, she's going to go home and tell her husband, I had this man, he was this old white guy, he was really nice to me, and he said it didn't hurt. How do you like that, Henry? You know, that's not going to happen. It's just in the moment. As we live on this edge of life, as we surf on the cutting edge, in the froth. In the froth. I have a little froth here in my coffee. It's all frothy. I think I'm laughing because, you know, I'm laughing because I'm still laughing at Jason Rees, who is showing another side of himself on the on the show hole. All right. No, that's something else I do. Yeah, plugs for other shows. Well, there, you just heard it. All right. signing off. Bye.